Welcome to I Caught It on Audio. This is Ride or Die Episode 21, Soundgarden, Part 2.
Welcome to I Caught It on Audio. We're going to continue our Ride or Die series today for you. We're going to be doing our deep dive into the complete discography of the grunge band Soundgarden. This is the second part, and we'll be covering the albums Super Unknown, Down on the Upside, and King Animal, and then the tracks from B-sides and whatnot throughout that time period. Our first album is Super Unknown. This came out 3 years after Bad Moto Finger. We've got five singles on this one: Spoon Man, The Day I Tried to Live, Black Hole Sun, My Wave, and Fell on Black Days. This is where I first got introduced to Soundgarden. This came out early 90s, right when I was super getting into music, and it just was on every radio station. It was on MTV all the time, especially the Black Hole Sun video, and I absolutely love it. Zach, why don't you tell us what you think about this one?
This is also my inception point with the band Soundgarden. Like you, I heard Black Hole Sun. I saw the music video and I was just hooked at that point. Yeah. And it was at a time where I'd go out and I'd buy a CD from a band that I thought I would like, and then I would just listen to it all the way through. And this is one where I did that quite a bit, especially with doing school homework. I would just have it in my Discman and be playing it and listening to it. And the songs that were singles I thought were really good, but then the songs that weren't singles I thought were also really good. And there were some that really just struck a chord with me beyond even the radio singles. Like Mailman was a personal favorite, 4th of July. And I think we did a, Is This Song Good about 4th of July one yeah. time. I think we talked about it at that point, but I'll kind of reiterate it right here, is that I think one of the things they really do well is they've got sort of odd time signatures, odd guitar tunings. The kinds of things that they are doing really shouldn't be commercial or accessible to the listener. But for some reason, they're able to figure it out. Like, they're still able to make something interesting and useful and purposeful to the person who's listening to it, even though it is just bonkers as far as like musically what they're doing a lot of the time. And so that's one of the things I really, really appreciate, especially about this album, is how it got me in with the more commercial, more pop type sounds. And then it kept me with all of the more interesting, radical stuff that I didn't really know about or hadn't been super exposed to in other music up to that point. Jamie, why don't we hear from you next?
Yeah, it was similar for me. Black Hole Sun was probably the first time I recognized the band Soundgarden. I saw the video as well, which, as we all know, is very interesting and it stands out. And I bought the album after that. I listened to the whole thing over and over. And I really enjoyed it. I still enjoy it now. And, you know, similar to what you were saying, Zach, some of my favorites are now tracks that were not singles. Sometimes even when like Black Hole Sun comes on, which I would say I probably have heard the most just because of the way it was played. And it sounds almost separate from the rest of the album. For me, like, I don't know, maybe just because I heard it so much and it was played a lot. And I don't know, even kids today know that song, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of its own thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It does fit in with the rest of the album, but it does seem almost like it's its own thing just because of how popular and how far reaching it has gotten.
Yeah, I mean, I love this album from start to finish for the most part. And, you know, even little short one like Kickstand, I love that one. All the tracks are good.
How about you, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, like all you guys, we're all basically the same age. So we all really got to know Super Unknown as the, you know, kind of the first entry into Soundgarden. I think this is kind of like a 5-star, every song is great record. I like the radio ones that we heard all the time, you know, like Spoon Man or Fell on Black Days or of course Black Hole Sun. But I think the other songs are just as strong, if not stronger. My personal favorites are Head Down, Mailman. I mean, my personal favorites are all the songs, is really
if I kinda, yeah, like the first 15 15 tracks are your favorite.
Mm-hmm. Well, yep. You know, it's interesting. When I was looking at this playlist, I was like, why is She Like Surprises listed as a B-side? That's on Super Unknown. And then I realized that I had picked up an international version of this.
Right.
And it's just the 16th track.
Yep.
So I always thought it was on here, and I didn't realize till later that it wasn't normally on there.
Yeah,
I
had never heard
all 16 are good. All 16 of the 15 tracks are great. It's interesting because it's a very, I love the guitar tone and the production on it. And a lot of the songs, you know, are quite similar. A lot of the album tracks, but they all stand apart and are distinct from each other. I think the drums are particularly good on this album. They take their time on the songs and leave room and space for like instrumental parts too, and while not super flashy, Matt Cameron's drumming on this is really tasteful, and it gets a chance to shine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, this is the top 10 album. This is just going back and listening again, I was like, man, there is nothing. You could maybe argue that Half is very strange, mm-hmm. and doesn't sound that much like any of the other songs. But I think when you have this many songs, it's nice to have that change of pace too, which is what makes, like Jamie said, a Kickstand stand out, because it's, you know, a lot of them are a little sludgier and less punk. But a little bit of a weirdness is sort of balances it all out. And it's just a great album.
Mm-hmm. This is, like you said, Dan, top 10 albums of all time, without a doubt. What's your favorite track on the album? Zach, why don't you start?
Definitely Mailman. That's mine.
Oh, man.
Is Old Man number 17?
It might be. It's track 17. It might be Limo Wreck. I really like that one. But there's like 10, depending on the day, that could be the best song on the album.
What about you, Jamie?
It's so hard. I do really like Mailman and Limo Wreck. I don't know. Maybe Fell on Black Days.
That's a really good one too.
That's one that took a while to grow on me, but now it's one of my favorites too. It's mm-hmm. really good.
Yeah. I think mine would have to be 4th of July, but it, like you guys, it's not an easy decision.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got some B-sides here. On this one, Night Surf, She Likes Surprises, Kyle Petty's Son of Richard, Exit Stonehenge, Jerry Garcia's Finger, and Christy. Any strong feelings on any of these? Obviously, She Likes Surprises was on the European release, but any other thoughts on those?
I liked Night Surf, and it could be, you know, mainly because it stood out because it would stop and start several times. Mm-hmm. But I did end up liking that. That was a instrumental. I think that was really interesting. And then I also liked Christy, kind of the progression of that one. And
Kyle Petty, son of Richard, has always been a favorite of mine.
I didn't care for that one.
No,
no, I didn't thumbs down it. What was the one you liked on the first one?
Little Joe.
Yeah. Didn't thumbs down it like that. I didn't particularly care for Kyle Petty's Son of Richard.
I liked that one. I also liked She Likes Surprises and Christy. Night Surf was interesting. I was expecting it to do something else, but it never did.
No, it goes for five and a half minutes and never really gets anywhere.
It goes for like 2 minutes and then stops.
Yeah, right. And then it goes for two more, yeah.
I don't know. I just liked it.
Yeah, no, it wasn't bad. I just, I wanted it to do one more thing and it never quite did the one more thing.
Yeah.
So up next, we've got the album Down on the Upside. It came out in 96, so just 2 years after Super Unknown. Got four singles on it. Pretty Noose, Burden in My Hand, Blow Up the Outside World, and Ty Cobb.
No. Really?
Yeah,
Ty Cobb was a single? That's interesting.
Yeah, apparently. I would imagine it had a extremely edited version of it.
But, I never heard it on the radio at all.
Well, it was released in April of 97.
Listen, so. Wikipedia never lies, so we'll believe it. Yep,
this is fact. So Dan, why don't you tell us what you thought of Down on the Upside?
You know, I always liked this one a bit, and I bought it when it came out. Of course, the three singles and the alleged fourth, Pretty Noose, Blow Up the Outside World, especially Burn in My Hand. I liked them. I thought they were, you know, they were good songs. They sounded just a little bit different from, you know, the previous album. And there were a few other songs I liked, like I always liked Overfloater. But like this one, I didn't spend enough time with it to really sort of really get to know it well enough, I don't think, in the past, because I actually liked almost all the songs on the album as I went through it this time. I don't think they're quite at the level of, certainly not Super Unknown, and I don't think Bad Motorfinger either. But the only two songs I didn't give the old thumbs up to were Apple Bite and Never the Machine Forever. Other than that, I thought they were all good, just good, solid songs. And you started to get a little more variety, a little bit of almost like what sounds to me like hints of Chris Cornell's solo career starting to sneak in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this is very good. It's probably my third favorite so far. It's still very well done. I just don't think it's not quite as consistent, I would say, as the previous albums. What about you, Dave? What are your thoughts?
This one's, and maybe it's because I was such a big fan of Super Unknown, but this one just feels like a pretty big step down. I would agree it is the third best, in that it is nowhere near as bad as Ultra Mega Okay. I'd say it's Ultra Mega pretty good as opposed to yeah. Ultra Mega Okay.
Ultra Mega Decent.
Yeah, Ultra Mega Decent. I don't know. Like I recognized all the radio tracks. I can't say for sure whether in 1997 I heard Ty Cobb on the radio or not, but I did like Tighter and Tighter in addition to the radio tracks, but none of the other ones really stood out as particularly interesting. Didn't really do much for me. How about you, Jamie?
I liked it. I would agree it's not at the level of Super Unknown or Bad Motorfinger, but I did find several tracks that I had not heard before that I enjoyed. I liked Zero Chance. I did like Ty Cobb. And I think Never Named was maybe about dogs, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of liked that one too. I will listen to it again. You know, there are some good ones that I have known for a long time on there, and some that were interesting to me that I would listen to again.
Zach, what about you?
Yeah, so this was a day one buy. After Super Unknown, I was all in on Soundgarden. I was a little let down by it. It was not bad. But like you guys said, you know, the really high notes are great, but then the low notes don't always, you know, do anything or don't really kind of keep you coming back for more, is really the way that I could say it the best. I mean, when I listened to Super Unknown, when I got finished with it, very often it was like, well, I should probably listen to that again. Like, let's repeat that all the way through. And this one, I kind of got to the end of it. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to put that on the shelf and maybe revisit that in like a couple months or something. It just doesn't have the same sort of like grab and replayability. And it's not that the songs are necessarily bad. It's just, I don't really feel all that invested in them. I do really love the radio hits. I actually like Apple Bite, Dan.
incorrect opinion.
And then Tighter and Tighter is up there as possibly one of my favorite Soundgarden songs of all time.
Yeah, I really like that one.
Like you said, it's ultra mega decent.
Yeah.
It does enough, but it doesn't quite seem as cohesive and clean and replayable as Super Unknown was, or even Bad Motorfinger for that matter.
Yeah, it's just not quite on the same level. And I never wound up buying this one, oddly, which is, when I look at my shelf of CDs, I only have two Soundgarden CDs, which just doesn't seem right, but I don't really feel bad having spent some time over the last month listening to it. I don't feel bad about not having bought it because it just didn't quite stand out. It's everyone's favorite track from this one. Mine would be Tighter and Tighter.
Same.
I don't know. Either Blow Up the Outside World or Burden in My Hand.
I really love Burden in My Hand. It's one of those mid-90s songs that's really burned into my brain. I also really like Overfloater. It just has a really, really good groove to it.
Now we've got a couple B-sides from this era. A Splice of Space Jam, Bleed Together.
That's supposed to be on the Space Jam soundtrack?
I don't know.
Because that would have been the same timing, right?
But it was not good.
No, it was not.
No, it wasn't good.
It was like a mini version of the pastiche song, pastiche medley from the Smashing Pumpkins box set.
Yeah. It's no Little Joe, let's just say that. I didn't particularly like Bleed Together. Karaoke was fine. I did like Black Rain, and I kind of wondered why that. I thought that had a great chorus and hook.
That's the only one I really liked out of this little group of B-sides or whatever. Not to mention Bishop on the cover.
That's right. Of Telephantasm.
Yeah,
that's definitely Bishop.
Oh, Bishop. Yeah. Poor dog. I liked the Telephantasm, and then this is, I guess, technically from the next era, but the Avengers song, Live to Rise, was decent.
Yeah, it's decent, but it's
very poppy and very catchy. And very not,
I mean, that's a Avengers-y. That's a lot of Chris Cornell's solo work, and I don't mind it, but it's good in a different way, I would say. The only one I didn't like was, like, specifically didn't like, was a slice of Space Jam. The rest of them were not, they weren't great, but they were just fine.
I did not like the Telephantasm. I just didn't like the sound of it, I guess.
Right, then we've got the final album. The band had broken up, got back together, 16 years later? 2012, I think.
Yep.
Well, they got together in around 10, did the Avengers song, and started writing, and then released King Animal in 2012. There are three singles from it, Been Away Too Long, by Crooked Steps, and Halfway There. Jamie, what did you think of this one?
I like this one. I maybe liked it better than Down on the Upside. It has a different sound. It sounds definitely more pop-ish. I liked it. I liked all of the singles that I didn't know were singles until this moment, but I liked those. I liked the last song, Rowing. And yeah, I just thought it was a bit of a different sound for them, but I enjoyed it. How about you?
I liked this one better, probably better than Down on the Upside as well. Down on the Upside kind of had a, we're still doing this because we're making money feel, as opposed to King Animal being, let's do this because we want to do it. I don't know how true that is, you know, from the mindset of the band. That's kind of the way it felt. Yeah, I liked Tari and Been Away Too Long a lot. And then the rest of it was good. I don't know that I would definitely put it higher than Down on the Upside, but in the same realm as that, where it's one of their middle tier albums. It's not as good as Bad Metal Finger, or definitely not as good as Super Unknown. But it's way better than the first two albums and the EPs. How about you, Dan?
This is pretty solid. It's a mix, interesting mix of sort of poppier Chris Cornell solo sounding stuff, and then like really intricate, odd time signature stuff, which sounds good, but is even, we were talking earlier about how good they are at sort of making weird stuff sound accessible. And I think this stuff is a little less accessible at times because there is such a strange, it's not quite as an intuitive use of odd time signatures for me, but the only song I didn't give a thumbs up to is Halfway There. It just didn't feel like it really fit on the album very well to me. Not that it's a bad song. It just felt like a pop song, if I remember correctly.
It was pretty poppy.
I would say that the best parts, it's right there with Down on the Upside for me, because the best parts of Down on the Upside I think are better, but I think that the average song might be better on this one. My favorites, not a lot of songs really jumped out at me. I just was listening to them and thinking, yeah, this is pretty good. The one that really stood out for me, I think, was Rowing, the last track that had a really distinctive sound to it, and it was it was a good way to end the album. And I don't know if Storm, the B-side, the last song here, was supposed to be part of the album, but I kind of wish it was on there because that was a really good one too. But yeah, I would say in the ballpark of Down on the Upside, definitely those are 3 and 4 out of the top albums for them. I would rather listen to the highlights of Down on the Upside, but I think this one probably is a little more consistent. Zach, what are your thoughts?
When this first came out, I was super excited because I was like, yay, new Soundgarden. And I listened to it once through and I was like, nah, that's okay. And I think it was just kind of like the timing of things. It just really wasn't like my Soundgarden days had sort of passed for that, for what it's worth, you know, like I was into it at that specific time. And I just kind of, you know, when they came out with new music, to me, it felt like kind of an afterthought. And also, I think some of it was a little bit of avoidance because I kind of knew that it was going to be, you know, probably the last Soundgarden music we'd ever get. So, it was, you know, I do this a lot when I think that I'm never going to get something again, I just kind of like pack it away and save it. It's like, yeah, then I can be new and fresh, you know, some other day. Listening to it a few times for this, it's got some pretty decent songs. Like I felt it took a little while to get going at the beginning, but I think right around 1,000 Days Before track four is that one. Blood on the Valley Floor was where it really kind of ramped up for me. And then just kind of, you know, kept going throughout. Like there's a couple drops like halfway there. I really liked Tari, Eyelid's Mouth. I thought that one was great.
That was good too, yeah.
That what I really think was interesting about it is the showcase of Ben Shepherd. I think he's sort of an unsung hero in bass guitar.
Yeah.
Because like Bones of Birds and Rowing has mm-hmm. some of the most interesting bass stuff mm-hmm. I've ever heard in recent memory. And I think it just kind of gets lost in the shuffle because there's, you know, so much talent in this band. And of course, everybody's all eyes on Chris Cornell. But I think Ben Shepherd really is doing some cool stuff. And he also, you know, throughout their whole catalog, he was writing songs here and there. But sometimes they didn't really float up to the surface. Other times they just... It was okay. But I think here he has a little bit more of a chance to shine and do some interesting stuff. But yeah, I think overall it's not super high up. I mean, I do definitely want to go back and listen to quite a few of these songs, but I don't feel like it is something where I really need to put on the album and just sit through it and really listen to it, you know, straight through from start to finish. It just doesn't feel quite that good in the same vein as Down on the Upside. But I do think you guys are Dave, I think you're right that there's less of a commercialism here. There's more of a, we're doing this for ourselves or we're doing this to make the music.
It feels like there's some actual passion back in the band, whereas Down on the Upside felt like it was the next step they had to do.
Yeah. The passion of the Chris. Storms, that was the next one, right? Or Storm.
Uh-huh. Storm.
Yeah, I like that one as well. And I don't know why they didn't just put it on the album. To me, I don't know where it actually came from and I didn't do any digging, but to me, it kind of sounded a little bit like it could have been a movie soundtrack song, you know, mm-hmm. something that was just kind of going in the background during credits or through some moody part of a movie. But Dave, Jamie, what did you guys think about that one?
I liked it. It didn't stand out as particularly interesting, but it was good. It fit well with the rest of it.
I liked it too. I didn't look at the lyrics or anything, but I think there was a change in, he was talking about the storm coming and it was like, at first it was all hope or something like that for those caught up. And then it kind of gradually changed to no hope is what I heard. I don't know if that's true, but I always like that kind of change or transition in music where what they're saying kind of evolves. And I thought it was interesting.
When they keep sort of tweaking the chorus or whatever the line is, it tells a story better, I think.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
It was previously unreleased, recorded in 2014. So sounded like they were getting something else going.
Yeah. I mean, if you examine a lot of the lyrics, especially like Suicide and the end of Super Unknown, mm-hmm. it's pretty grim to think about when we know what happened to Chris Cornell.
There's a lot of talk of death and suicide. And
yeah.
It is. The writing was very much on the wall.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What was everybody's favorite from King Animal?
For me, it would probably been away too long. I liked the, just a great start to the album, kind of get you going. We're back again. Let's do this kind of thing. I like that one.
I'd say Rowing. The bass is great on that one. Rowing is really good. That's my favorite.
I liked Eyelid's Mouth.
I liked that one too, but I thought the imagery was just Eyelid's Mouth. I don't know. I was grossed out by it. But I did like the song. I liked the beginning and the ending. I like when a disc starts out strong and ends strong. And so I guess my favorite is like those two together, Been Away for Too Long and then Rowing.
Right, you get one album of these three. I think I know what everyone's going to say, but which one do you pick? Super Unknown?
Yes.
Yep.
I'll take the song A Splice of Space Jam over everything. No, of course it's Super Unknown. Yeah. It's not that close.
Now, the real hard question, for me it's not so hard, but based on what Zach said at the end of the last episode, I'm curious what his mindset is, but you get one out of the six albums, and I'm not even going to put the EPs in there. Which of these six studio albums do you pick?
I still Super Unknown for me.
Me too. Zach? Yep.
Still Super Unknown.
Okay. So, because at the end you said you might say that Bad Modal Finger is better. at the end of the last one.
Yeah. I'm not saying that though.
And then Dan, are you also super unknown?
I am, but I think it's because there's so many good songs. I would say Bad Motorfinger is pretty close, but if you just made me choose one, how could I say no to Super Unknown? It's just so good.
Yeah. And I will say, after going through this, Bad Motorfinger moved up for me. It's not as good as Super Unknown, but it's definitely better than I remembered it. Mm-hmm. So that was neat. Zach, are you ride or die for Soundgarden? I mean, clearly we know they won't be coming out with any more albums, certainly right. Not with Chris Cornell.
I'm going to say no, actually.
Okay. And why is that?
Because I wasn't really super enthusiastic about King Animal, and King Animal didn't really do anything to make me any more enthusiastic. So no.
All right. How about you, Dan?
I'm going to say yes. The run up until Bad Motorfinger's kind of rough. It's pretty hit or miss and mostly miss. But once they find their feet, yes, their best stuff is in the sort of early 90s. But I quite enjoyed going back and listening to Down on the Upside. And that one was better in my estimation than I thought it was when I, you know, back in the 90s. And I had never really spent any time with King Animal. I think I'd only heard a couple of songs. And I thought it was pretty good. So, I mean, it's not an overwhelming, you know, this is one of the best bands ever type of thing. But I would say they maintained, I enjoyed almost all their songs starting in 1991. And that's a pretty good run of four albums. So I'm going to say yes.
How about you, Jamie?
It's interesting, right? Because I love Super Unknown. And then the kind of the albums surrounding that, getting a chance to listen to those more for this podcast have been great albums as well. You know, their sound changes a lot, but I appreciate that, right? Like thinking back to when we did Weezer, I guess their sound kind of changed, but the complaints about, you know, or like the things that bugged me didn't really change. And so I don't know, there's just such a change overall in their catalog. I guess I would say yes, ride or die, because I will go back and I will listen to especially these later albums again. And I might even listen to the early ones once in a while. There were some good things on there, but yeah, I would say yes. If something was released posthumously, I would listen to it.
Okay. Yeah, we've talked about a few measures for what qualifies you for being ride or die, and one is the trajectory of the band, right? And clearly, they had hit their high in the early 90s and then dropped a little bit, but then maintained. I mean, King Animal is not fundamentally worse or better than Down on the Upside. We talk about, would you be out day one, you know, waiting in line at Disco Round or whatever to buy the new CD? And I don't think by that metric I would. I didn't even buy Down on the Upside, so I can't say at this point that I'd want to go out and buy the next album were that still a thing I did. I do think I would be excited to hear about a new album. I wouldn't go out of my way to go seek it out, but I definitely would want to listen to it. So I think with that measure, I am ride or die, but it's based on my absolute love of Super Unknown. I'm willing to forgive the lower quality of Down on the Upside and King Animal. Even if they could reach half that quality again, I think it'd be worth it.
Yeah, so you are ride or die then.
Yes, I am ride or die.
I think what Jamie said is interesting to compare them like to Weezer, because a lot of the ones that we've done where I've said no, like Counting Crows and Weezer and Live, it's because it got real bad. Yeah. After being real good. And I don't think, for me, the reason I'm willing to tip them into ride or die for me is I don't think they ever got, I think it went from great to spectacular to good, and then it stayed at good.
Yeah.
And it never was like, ugh, what are they doing? Right. I never had that moment. You know, there was no like a praise band era, like Live had, you know. So I think I don't think Zach's actually that far away from how we feel about the catalog, but it's just right above and below the line, because it's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think in addition, I love Chris Cornell. I like the stuff that he did on his own. And I feel like I'm still finding music that I didn't know about that I am enjoying. I can't say that I would listen to a Rivers Cuomo joint. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think you're absolutely right. All right. That's going to do it for this episode. Tell us what you think about Soundgarden in the comments. Like and subscribe if you do that kind of thing. And if you want more content like this, you can find everything we've done at 64tacos.com. Thanks for listening.
I caught it on audio.
I have a fun, quick little tidbit.
Tidbit.
You've got what?
Feel free to edit this out or make it afterwards.
Got a fun little tidbit?
Yeah. So I have a fun little tidbit, which is of all the CDs that I owned at the time, this was the only one that was smoothed on the edge. So all the other ones were, you know, like it was just a straight down cut. And so it was extremely sharp. It's not like I ever cut myself on my CDs or anything like that. That would be stupid. But no, it was just, I noticed
what
when
the hell's
I was, you
going
know,
on right now?
Take the disc out of the, like I said, you could cut out this tiplet.
No, but, it's staying in now.
Just the tactile feel of the actual disc itself was very smooth on the edges. That's all I wanted to say.
That's a real tidbit from you, Zach. I appreciate that.
Classic Zach tidbit there.
That's great, Zach. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, good job, Zach.
Okay, now we can move on.
All right.